Dare to make it known. I want to urge you to dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose for him, and dare to make it known. And if you happen to be a young lady or a woman, dare to be a Fatima Berry. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of...
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next half hour, they're going to be the views of Senator Bragdon. Senator Bragdon is a senator in the Oklahoma Senate and the State Senate, and he is going to be running for governor next year. And I think it's important that in as many states as possible we get people in who believe in the Constitution, are willing to stand up to the federal government and say, look, we need to abide by the law of this land. And certainly the individual states should have their right to pass their laws without interference from the federal government. And we need, of course, the states themselves and the legislators to go along with what should be done. So I heard Senator Bragdon actually speaking about 2 weeks ago at a meeting I attended in Oklahoma City, and I asked him to be with us this evening. Senator, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, good evening. It's good to talk to you again.
Why don't you just tell us, listeners, just a little bit about yourself and why you want to run for governor of the great state of Oklahoma?
Well, I am a 30-year business owner here in Oklahoma. I've been in the air conditioning business most of my adult life. I have served on the city council in my community here in Owosso. For 2 years, I was elected mayor. The Senate seat came open, and I ran for the Senate 7 years ago, and I just completed my seventh year. I'm two-thirds of the way through my term. But the reason that I have decided to run for governor is because I'm deeply concerned about my state and our country, and I have witnessed firsthand, up close and personal, the abuses of Congress, the lack of constitutional integrity with so many of our politicians, and I have committed and dedicated myself to restore what we have lost and what we are in the middle of losing, and that is our constitutional liberty. And I have decided to stand in the gap between the citizens of my state and an overbearing and overreaching and overpowering and an unconstitutional Congress. And I am dedicated to restore the freedom for the citizens of this great state.
And, of course, having heard Randy Bragdon, Senator Randy Bragdon, talk, and certainly having had the opportunity of talking to some of my other friends there in Oklahoma, they tell me that he means just what he says, one of those rare politicians who's going to tell you where he's coming from. And certainly he gave one of the greatest speeches I've ever heard when I was there, and certainly the audience certainly supported what he has to say. Well, Sidney, what about this 10th Amendment movement that Oklahoma is one of the leaders in this whole idea of trying to restrain the federal government from extending its powers, which are truly illegal and unconstitutional?
Well, that is correct. And if you look back at the powers that we, the people, gave Congress, they're enumerated, they're spelled out. There are 18 sets of powers that the people of the states gave Congress when we started this great country. Article 1, Section 8 clearly defines what those powers are. Yet over the many, many years, in the last several decades, Congress has stepped way outside of the bounds of their constitutional authority. And legislators around this country have let the tail wag the dog because they have held money out in front of the state legislatures and said, hey, if you will do this, this, and this, we'll give you money. And because of greed, it has just gripped the very fabric of our society. It is destroying what was once a wonderful country, a country and a nation based on constitutional liberty, individual liberty, personal responsibility. But greed has overtaken the politicians. It has overtaken the state legislators around this nation. And it is time that the people stand up.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Pick that story up, Senator. Go right ahead.
Are we back?
You were right back. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I was saying it's time that we pick up and reclaim what is rightfully ours, and that is freedom. You know, one of the hallmarks of this nation is the fact that our country was founded on the belief that our rights come from God, the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, our divine rights. And one of the unique parts of our Constitution, the rule of law, governs by what our Declaration of Independence has declared, that our rights are divine rights given to us by God. But the thing is, our rights, our freedom, can be taken away by man, even though they are divinely inspired and given to us. Every generation, every people that come before us have handed down the rights to us, and now it is our time to pass freedom down to the next generation. It is time that we stand in the gap and we dedicate ourselves to pass freedom on. It's not being done. Congress is literally destroying our nation, destroying our kids' economic freedom right before our very eyes. And I have decided that I'm just not going to stand for it any longer. And with everything within me, I'm going to try and restore the freedom that is rightfully ours as Americans and as Oklahomans.
Well, I think that's exciting to know that you're going to be out there in the front lines of this battle, and I hope as soon as you have the information on your program you're going to be put on Orange County, you'll let me know, and we'll get you at least onto our program down there in Orange County, try to get support for you here. Sydney, you're getting support actually from areas outside of Oklahoma, aren't you?
Yes, you know, the message of freedom, I'm finding sells all around the country. Over the last couple of years, especially, I have been invited to speak around the United States in different locations, different venues, and my message remains the same. It's the message of freedom. And it's amazing to me to watch the people rally to this cause. You know, over the last year or so, I have noticed an awakening. Everywhere I go, around the state, around this country, when I share the truth and I share the message of freedom, it rings true in people's ears, and they are waking up to the fact that they are now realizing that we are in trouble as a nation, but it doesn't have to be that way. There's no problems. There are no ills that are plaguing this country today that can't be fixed with a good dose of freedom. Once we limit the government, the federal government, and keep them within their constitutional duties...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Senator Bragdon is talking about, you know, the importance of retaining our freedom, that we're losing our freedom. But, you know, certainly if the people rally behind the cause, why, this would be very easy to take America back. And, of course, freedom once lost may never be regained. But Senator Bragdon is being asked to go all over from other states to talk about these concepts that we have a unique nation where our freedom came from our Creator. And you pick up the story there, Senator.
Sure. Our freedom did, in fact, come from our Creator. The Declaration of Independence declares, in fact, that our rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are divine, unalienable rights given to us by our Creator. And I mentioned in the last segment that even though our rights are divinely given to us, it is up to us to protect them and pass them down to the next generation. You know, I love what Ronald Reagan said. He said, it is our duty and it is our destiny to preserve in sacred trust mankind's aspiration of freedom for generations to come. And if you and I don't stand in the gap, if we fail our generation, if we do not pass freedom down to the next generation, we are at severe risk of losing it today. So it doesn't have to be that way. There are things that we can do, just like we did here in the state Senate in Oklahoma. I was a Senate author of SJR 10, the 10th Amendment resolution, and we told Congress in our resolution that to cease and desist of any and all activity that falls outside of the scope of their enumerated powers. We are going to reclaim our states' rights. We are going to start the process of governing ourselves. And the reason that I'm running for governor is because I want to lead the charge in the restoration of our freedom. I think it's important for every state to do like we have done here in Oklahoma and start that reclamation process right now.
Well, my understanding is that there really is beginning to be a movement out there across the country, the sleeping giants beginning to wake up, and more legislators and more states are getting ready to take a stand. Is that right?
Well, they are, and before I forget, I want to invite your listeners to go to my website, randybrogdon.com, and my name is spelled B-R-O-G-D-O-N. That's randybrogdon.com, and there are a lot of different articles and speeches that you can find on my website. We'll actually be having a nationwide fundraising campaign a little later this month. So if you go to my website and join my team, you can read my weekly newsletter, keep up with what we're doing. And I can tell you, it's going to be a very unique situation here in the state of Oklahoma to have not a career politician, not a trial attorney, but a 30-year business owner, a citizen legislator, coming into the governor's office with constitutional knowledge. I understand the Constitution. I know the bounds of the federal government, and I understand what their enumerated rights are, and I will be a governor that will protect the citizens of this state. I will make sure every bill, every piece of legislation that comes to my desk is constitutional. If it is not, it will be vetoed. That bill will be dead. And if the legislature tries to override it, I will make that known to the citizens of this state that they have people serving them in elected office that are violating their constitutional oath. The status quo is in danger if I am in the governor's office. And I intend to start the restoration of freedom right here in the state of Oklahoma. And I assure you, it will spread like wildfire around this country. Other states will be looking at the state of Oklahoma, and they're going to say, how are they doing that? And they're going to point to Oklahoma, and they're going to start the same thing that we're doing right here.
Well, I think there's ever been a time in the history of our nation when there was really a movement to change things, to try to get back to where they used to be, to reclaim our rights as free citizens and a free society. It's now. I'll tell you what, my impression is that a lot of the congressmen are coming home, these people from Washington, D.C., who've been living high on the hog with their own special retirement system and their own special insurance and their own special benefits. And they're coming home and going to town halls, and people are standing up to them and telling them exactly what they think of them. And, of course, this is what they talk about. Oh, we want democracy. Oh, but we don't want anybody talking back to us because we're in charge. And I think a lot of them are getting quite an earful. My impression is a lot of the people in Washington, D.C. are getting worried, like the natives are getting restless, and they don't realize we're supposed to be dependent upon us.
Well, you know, we have allowed ourselves to become the servants and to become the slaves of the master. But I want to remind the listeners, the federal government is not the master. They work for us. Politicians work for us. And too many politicians in this country have become politicians. They have stopped being public servants. They forgot why they have been put in that position. You know, and I'm asked so often, you know, well, Randy, what can we do? I mean, you know, we got troubles here in our state. We have troubles around the country. What can we do? Here's the best thing that your listeners can do, no matter which state that you're hearing this show in. When you put your trust and your faith and your vote in an elected official, whether it's a school board member or the president of the United States, every person that serves their country in some form or fashion raises their right hand and swears to uphold the Constitution of the United States. I want to suggest and urge your listeners, the first time a politician violates that sworn oath, throw him out of office. They do not deserve to serve anyone. They have been put there in a trusted position, and if you can't trust them to uphold the Constitution, then get rid of them just as quick as you can. They should not be there.
And, of course, the trouble is about 95% of what the members of Congress vote for, the House and the Senate, both are simply unconstitutional. That's why certainly Congressman Ron Paul, who always decides his vote on whether it's constitutional, is known as Dr. No, because the vote will be 434-1 time and again. And this is what we need, is more people who have the courage, not only in the Congress, but in the United States Senate. But certainly, if we're going to have to take America back, we're going to have to start down at the local level, certainly at the precinct and the county, and then at the state level. And this is why I'm really excited about your candidacy, and we'll certainly do everything we can to help it and to popularize it. Our telephone number, if you'd like to talk to Senator Bragdon, he'll be with us for a few minutes more, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest is Senator Randy Brogdon, Brogdon, and I'm sure he'd be glad to answer your questions. But he's been there in the Senate. He knows how these things work, and it's a lot easier sometimes just to go along with everybody else. But we need people who are willing to stand up, and the fact that Senator Brogdon actually authored the Senate version of the 10th Amendment of the resolution that passed there. Now, my understanding was that the resolution passed both the Senate and the House of Representatives in Oklahoma, and then the governor vetoed it.
Yeah, and you know, you would think that if there is any one person in the state of Oklahoma that would support the 10th Amendment, it would be the leader. It would be the governor of the state. But in fact, our liberal trial attorney governor, he chose to veto the bill because we were in the process of taking all the unconstitutional stimulus money that was headed to the state. And it would have been just a little bit more hypocritical on his part to go ahead and sign the 10th Amendment resolution and then stand there with his hand out, wanting this free manna from heaven. But, you know, here's the irony. The 10th Amendment is the 10th Amendment. It's almost discouraging to me and somewhat silly that we have to run a 10th Amendment resolution. It is still on the books. We haven't done away with it yet. But our resolution actually had teeth in it, but now The concurrent resolution that we passed just expressed the will of the legislature. Yet every member of the state legislature, except three of us, voted for our budget this year, which included $2.6 billion worth of stimulus money from Congress. Again, unconstitutional. And it amazes me how politicians can stand there on one side of their mouth to say, oh, the stimulus is horrible, but then they go ahead and vote for it. You know, my opponent in the governor's race, she's a congresswoman, and she voted for the bailout, the first multi-billion-dollar bailout, I think, $700 or $800 billion. Then she stood and railed against the stimulus package. But then in the back room, she said, but just in case it passes, give me my fair share. And she brought home several million dollars worth of pork barrel earmark spending out of the stimulus. So, you know, double-mindedness is not the way to lead. And so I am standing up for the Constitution. I don't have a long laundry list of things that I'm telling people that I'm going to do for them. I have one major thing that I'm going to do, and I tell them I will do everything within my power to protect their freedom and restore the constitutional liberty that has been violated and has been taken away. So that is my goal as governor.
Well, our guest is Senator Randy Brogdon, and if you have a question for him, why, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And the interesting thing is that Senator Brogdon's reputation is beginning to spread. People, more and more people are asking him to come to speak. And, of course, this is an idea whose time has come. We need people who are willing to get up and profess the belief that our freedoms in America come from God. That's what it says in the Declaration of Independence. We are unique from any other country in the world. And America, of course, is losing its way. It is going to certainly become a third world nation if we don't remedy what's going on. And believe me, if we don't get involved now, the other side will win, because there are people who want to destroy America. They really are globalists. They want to transfer America's wealth and manufacturing overseas. That's why General Motors just opened a new plant this last week in communist China with your tax money. We'll be right back. Well, Senator, certainly I'm pleased to know you're going to be here in California. When is that going to be?
I think it's...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Enough for Americans willing to pay that cost of being involved and committing themselves. Go ahead, Senator. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Well, that's right. I was just saying, you know, it does come with a great cost and more often than not, tremendous sacrifice. And I love the quote of Patrick Henry when he said that the battle is not to the strong alone, but it's to the vigilant and to the active and to the brave. But I'm afraid that we are moving so dangerously close to the point where if we think that sacrifice of protecting our liberty is too great, then we will lose our liberty. We'll lose our freedom. But it is not too great of a mission to try and restore and reclaim and protect what has been given to us. It is our duty and our responsibility to pass it on.
And of course, President Obama has appointed more czars than the Romanovs did when they ruled Russia before the communists took over. Hey, Chris, thanks very much for calling. God bless.
Can I add to that?
Sure, go ahead.
Add to that? It's just that when you compare us to Germany back in the 30s, I can understand that. I had family living over there at that time. And with all that's going on in this country, it's getting to be this for the government, by the government. You know, that's what happened in Germany. You know, I had family there at that time in history, and I still have relatives there. But it's sad that we're watching. The American people are basically sitting idly. They're just letting this happen.
Well,
they're just letting it happen.
Chris,
and you know what? In order for a full global government, I want you to stop and think about this a second. In order for a full global government to bring the U.S. into full global government, you have to bring down the economy. You have to wipe this country down to its hands and its knees.
You're absolutely right.
That is the bottom line. Now, how do you do that?
Wait a minute, Chris. We got the other people in. We got Senator Brogdon's got to go, but I'm going to have open lines the last half hour. You're welcome to call back. Thanks so much. Let's go to Mario, who's calling from Flint, Michigan. Hi, Mario.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, my question is quite similar to the last one. It seems like I remember hearing a few months ago about how some states had passed resolutions in the Congress saying that they wouldn't submit to any federal laws that suppressed their own rights as states.
Well, basically, I think it's, well, Senator, what basically were those resolutions?
I think he's referring to the 10th Amendment resolution like we passed here in the state of Oklahoma. And
is that what
states.
You were referring to at the top? The first thing you talked about?
In fact, these are being passed. A fair number of states have actually passed those. My understanding, I talked to Representative Charles Key this afternoon, who serves in the legislature there in Oklahoma.
Right.
He said they think there will be maybe as many as 100 of those resolutions going in this next year. So, Mario, things are happening. People are beginning to wake up. We just need to rally people and get them to support legislators who are willing to take a stand. Incidentally, Charles Key got that resolution through the House there in Oklahoma. What do you think happened to him? Well, he's being investigated by the IRS. Isn't that a coincidence?
Yeah.
Anything else, Mario?
Well, does that 10th Amendment resolution refer to the powers that are invested in the states as opposed to the federal government?
Sure it does. We very clearly refer to the language in the 10th Amendment in Article 1, Section 8, the enumerated powers. And the 10th Amendment says everything that's not specifically delegated to the federal government in Article 1, Section 8 is reserved to the sovereign people and to the state of Oklahoma. So you bet it does.
Okay, thank you.
God bless, and thank you for calling. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, of course, this Senator Brogdon's going to have to run here, but we're going to have open lines the last half hour. So if you have something you'd like to talk about, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Senator, I'd like you to get your web page out once more time and repeat it a couple of times because it's hard for people to remember. But go ahead and get the information out.
It's my name, randybrogdon.com. My name is spelled B-R-O-G-D-O-N, randybrogdon.com. Go to my website, join my team, and contribute to the cause of freedom because I'm in a race for the governor's seat here in the state of Oklahoma, and I am a danger to the status quo. Things will not remain the same if I'm able to serve the people here in this state as governor.
And, Chris, after having heard Senator Brogdon speak, and I was very, very impressed, and I will tell you, I think the other people who heard him were, and I was just so encouraged to find that there really are people out there willing to take a stand. Senator, thank you so very much for being with us. Please keep in touch, and anytime you want a voice on our program, that's what we're here for.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Good night. God bless. And, of course, that was Kate Smith singing God Bless America, our theme song here. And certainly I just hope that America will be worthy of God's blessing. But it will only be worthy of God's blessing if the good people, if the Christians of this country are willing to stand up. And, of course, as we're told, you know, to pray for God's guidance and to turn from our wicked ways and to repudiate the wickedness which permeates every aspect of our society today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we have going to open lines the last half hour. So if you're out there across America, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And right now we have Mark on the line calling in from Ohio. Hi, Mark. How are you listening to us, Internet or shortwave?
Shortwave.
Okay, very good. Well, but this is coming in pretty well.
Yeah,
okay, fine. Well, do you have a question or comment?
A comment, then a question. A couple weeks ago on a local call-in show here in Central Ohio, Congressman Pat Teaberry was on, and I called in and I asked him about the Ron Paul bill and the 250-plus that are sponsoring it. He said he's for it, but he says he doesn't think it'll ever get to the floor because Nancy Pelosi is the sole decider of what bills get to the floor. I mean, it's just there's just too much power all the way around in these offices that these elected officials have. My question is this. Have you ever had a guest on who is familiar with congressional procedure as far as how the docket works, how the Speaker of the House chooses what comes to the floor? And also, a specific question, don't they have to have a quorum of representatives before they can even have a session of Congress?
I'm really not much of an expert on that. You know, logic would tell you they should have a quorum. Logic would tell you that when you have over 280 congressmen of the 435 congressmen supporting a piece of legislation, that at least ought to get out of committee onto the floor. But
Yeah. Nothing
is logical because it's all about power, Mark. And this
Yeah. Is
the tragedy. They've lost sight of representative government. It's
Absolutely. All
about power. These people, of course, honestly believe that they're elected and they are going to get what they want. Nancy Pelosi was very much in favor of certainly getting the clunkers, the cash for clunkers program, getting the clunkers off the road because they were burning too much gasoline. Do you realize that she flies back and forth
Yes. Out
of Washington, D.C. every week, $60,000 of our tax money each way, $120,000 a week, $480,000 a month. We pay simply for the gasoline for Nancy Pelosi's car, who wants to get us to get our old clunkers off the road. This woman gives hypocrisy a bad name.
And I believe also they will in the end end up costing the healthy. What's left of the healthy car companies, a lot of money. But the reason I ask about the quorum thing is I was wondering if it's possible, if there could be a consensus of congressmen, a majority of congressmen that will decide we're not going to show up, we're going to go on strike, so to speak, so that you can't have a vote. I wonder if that's ever been done. I wonder if it's possible. I wonder if there's a loophole, if they can do an end run around that, if they can just ignore it. But I'm thinking it is time for the congressman to stand up and be willing, if need be, to face imprisonment, to face even, I hate to say it, death. Because we are at a point, nobody wants to say that we're on the verge of revolution, armed revolution. Nobody wants to say that, but it's in the back of everybody's mind. You know, and I'm thinking there's got to be a way that we can stop these communists, these Marxists, whatever you want to call them, these anti-republicanists, dead in their tracks, and somehow turn the tables on them. And I just want to know if there's any congressional procedure experts that can be interviewed. Maybe David Whitney knows about it. I don't know. But I'm thinking there has got to be a way around this. And I would really urge, even if there's not, I would really urge people, because I've thought about this over and over, to pray for the generals and the other people that are higher up in the military, because they are really the fourth branch of government. They're the arm, and they're the muscle, if you will, of our country. And I do believe that there are, of course, in Congress and in the Senate and in Washington, D.C., a bunch of traitors, but I do believe the people that love this country the most are those that are spread out all over the globe. And I believe that's by design, too.
All right.
It's not just to deplete our natural or our money and to have us be the world's cop, but I believe they know that generally a military person has got a love for country, and they don't want them anywhere near this country when the chips fall.
Well, Sydney, ask if anybody out there in the audience knows the answer to Mark's question, why, give us a call. I will tell you one thing. You do have to have a quorum, because I've been in meetings that's certainly very similar to Congress, where basically you have to have a certain number of people, and
yeah,
how many it is, I'm not certain. And basically, one of the tricks that's ordinarily used to actually stop the legal procedures or administrative procedures is for a number of people to get up and walk out. They're no longer quorum. And I've seen them actually lock the doors so that people can't get out. And certainly this is what you have to do. The sergeant-at-arms goes over there, locks the door so they can't walk out and destroy the quorum. So, but if anybody knows the answer to the rest of those questions, fine. The last thing, Mark, we want is armed revolution. We have a wonderful form of government. It's just we have a lot of traitors in Washington, D.C. who don't believe in it, who are subversives. And, of course, it's not the communists. Communism has been financed by people of great wealth in this country since its inception. And until people understand that Barack Obama and the communists surrounding him were put in power by people of great wealth, who are energized by dark spiritual forces. Once we understand that, things begin to make sense. But I appreciate your call, and please, if anybody has an answer to Mark's question, let us know.
Have a good one.
Thanks for caring. Bye-bye. Okay, our number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we just talked to Mark from Ohio. Let's talk to Mark from New York. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Hi, great to talk to you again. I'm on a commuter train actually going into New York City. I wanted to mention Sheila Baird's column in the Times today. Before I do, can I just expound on the last caller? I don't have an answer to his congressional question, but there's a group called the Oath Keepers, which is retired and active military and police officers that will refuse to act on a unconstitutional order as far as taking away our guns or the Fourth Amendment right to search and seizure. That's what he's absolutely right. They're spread around the world, the military. They don't want them back here on purpose, and that's the reason why Obama wants his civilian police force that's just as powerful as the military. They'll have a bunch of brain dead zombies doing exactly what he says. Unconstitutional orders to come after us. And you are right. It is an evil enterprise that we're facing. But the Oath Keepers, it's started by, I believe, a retired Marine officer. They're not going to engage or follow any orders from this administration. That was just one point I wanted to bring up.
And it's a very good point, that we've interviewed the gentleman who organized Oath Keepers. I was very impressed by it, and I think it's a wonderful thing that these men have gotten together and reaffirmed the oath that they swore when they entered government service, to support the Constitution of the United States and to defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And Mark, there are an awful lot of enemies of our Constitution serving in the House of Representatives, in the United States Senate, and in the Obama administration.
If I could, really quick, to Sheila Baird's column. I know you may believe she's part of the problem.
Yeah.
They're going to try to push her out of the FDIC. But in the third column of it, she actually mentions that quote, listen to this, the principal enablers of our current difficulties, financial difficulties, were institutions that took on enormous risk by exploiting regulatory gaps between banks and the non-bank shadow financial system, as she goes on by talking about unregulated over-the-counter devices and derivatives. See that? She just said it, non-bank shadow financial system. This is a one-world elite plot against us, and she's not long for the FDIC. Obama's going to try to push her out and put the super regulator in to do exactly what they want with our financial system. And which big bank do you think is about to fail? Because that's the big one. There's some huge bank. Is it going to be Bank of America, do you think?
I really don't know. The thing is, I think they're all insolvent. Certainly the one that has the most money of them all, most cash deposits, is J.P. Morgan Chase. That's a Rockefeller bank, just like Citigroup is a Rockefeller bank. But they have their tentacles, other evil tentacles, into all of the banking system. A Bank of America is certainly Wells Fargo, Citigroup. Goldman Sachs, if they had an honest audit of these, they'd all go down, and it would be the best thing that could happen to the United States. I don't know where we get the money to pay back the people who have their money in the banks. But, of course, we're simply creating money now and giving it to other banks throughout the world. Let's let those banks go down, pay off the deposits, and start in all over again. It's one of the few things that will actually save this country. Until we break the back of the banks, you know, that really control this country, nothing's going to change. And interestingly enough, Bob Chapman, last Saturday, remarked that the major banks, we're talking about J.P. Morgan Chase, we're talking about Deutsche Bank, we're talking about the Hong Kong Singapore Bank Corporation, HSBC, and half a dozen other the major banks, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, just sent a petition to Congress and said, if you dare to audit the Federal Reserve System, the whole financial system of the world will collapse. Well, what they're basically saying, and people don't understand, is it is these banks that control the Fed. The Fed is a privately owned, a central bank owned by these other bankers, all who tie into the Brotherhood of Darkness and the world occult movement. And they're frightened to death that there will be an audit of the Fed, that the American people will learn the shenanigans and how they've been stealing money from the American people and salting it away and violating all of our laws. And of course, they're the ones who brought on the derivative crisis. And they said, oh, we don't need regulation. You know, why you can trust us? Well, we can see what happens when we trust those people. Actually, J.P. Morgan Chase has over $80 trillion in derivative contracts. That's $80 trillion, not a billion, but $80 trillion. When they go down, the whole financial world house of cards comes down. And certainly Goldman Sachs, I think, has maybe $30 or $40 trillion. All of the banks are basically bankrupt. I think probably Sheila Bair is a pretty good person, basically. But I think you're probably right. I think they'll try to get rid of her. Because the FDIC is bankrupt. That's not her problem. It is basically another Ponzi scheme, like Medicare, like Social Security. They're all Ponzi schemes. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and all these, as all Ponzi schemes eventually do, they're all coming down. And with it, of course, is the wealth, the deposits. Everybody's been foolish enough to put their money in, leave it in the bank. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you're out there and you'd like to give us a call, why, we'd love to hear from you. And I'll look forward to taking Mark's advice and reading the editorial, op-ed article by Sheila Bair. And that's B-A-I-R, Sheila Bair. She's the head of the FDIC, a very responsible position, a very bright and brilliant woman who's, I think, trying to do her best to try to get people to believe that their money is safe as long as it's deposited in a bank that is backed by the FDIC, that has the full integrity and honesty of the federal government behind it. The trouble is our federal government is not honest, and it has no money. It is having to go out and borrow. Right now, of course, the FDIC has been given the right to borrow $500 billion. That's half a trillion dollars to back it up as more and more banks go down, Sydney. There's some people like Sydney Meredith Whitney, who's a very, very sharp lady. I read her material on Fierce Finance every day. She said another couple of hundred banks are going down this year. I can't believe that. But at least another 100 banks are going down this year. And, of course, when that happens, the FDIC is going to have to borrow that $500 billion, the $500 billion that they have. But where's the Treasury going to get the money? They don't have the money. Why are they going to have to borrow the money? Well, we're borrowing, $4 or $5 billion a day, $3 or $4 billion every day to pay our bills. Why not just borrow more? What happens when nobody will lend you any money? What happens when the whole world certainly turns against the United States? What happens when the whole world says the United States has been a bully and running things for a long time, and we're not going to go along with it anymore? What happens when China and Japan and Europe simply want to go their own way or join together, or the BRIC nations, Brazil, Russia, China, and India, say we're going to set up our own monetary system? Sarkozy of France, within the last 72 hours, has said we have to have another world reserve currency. The dollar can no longer be the reserve currency of the world. We are in real trouble in America. We're morally bankrupt. We're financially bankrupt. But I really fear for this country when I reflect that God is just and his justice will not sleep forever. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I thought what I'd share with you something that is attributed to Winston Churchill. Now, I don't like Winston Churchill. He was an evil little man, but he was one of the most brilliant orators of the last century. And this is one of the things he said, and I agree with this totally. Still, if you will not fight for the right when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight when your victory will be sure and not too costly, you may come to a time when you will have to fight when there is only a perilous chance for survival. Or there may even be a worse case. There may be a time when you will have to fight when there is no hope for victory, for it would be better to perish than to live as a slave. It would be better to perish than to live as a slave. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're at a point in history today where we really have only a very little chance for survival. And certainly we're our weapons, and we're involved in a war, but our weapons are our newsletters and programs like this and efforts to try to reach people across America with the truth. But there may very well come a time when we will have to fight when there is no hope for victory, for indeed it will be better to perish than to live as slaves. And I hope that you will want to join me and the other Radio Liberty family of supporters to try to get the information out across America. And we are having an impact, and we know more and more people are listening. A lot of them are having financial problems, but they're listening out there. We know that the real unemployment rate, there are about between 25 and 30 million people who are either unemployed or underemployed in America. And certainly, right now, according to an article I read just yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, or the New York Times, I can't remember which, there are 6 million homes that are either behind on their monthly payments or actually in foreclosure. 6 million homes certainly are behind in their monthly payments or going into foreclosure. Many of these people are losing their homes because they can't pay their taxes. And if you don't pay your taxes, the local community turns the tax bill over to a private collector who then triples the insurance rate and puts on fines so you can never, of course, never reclaim your home because they want to foreclose. Because they want your home and they're going to get it for pennies on the dollar. These things are going on all across America. And it's happening not by accident, but by purpose. And they're very evil people who want to impoverish our people and lower our living standards. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have just 3 minutes here before we get to the final point where we have to wrap up the program. But I think...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
Well, I've only met him once, but I really was impressed by him, talked to him a couple of times, and of course we're looking to forward to supporting him next year and this year as he's beginning to build a base for running for the governorship. And we're going to have to back good people. I don't know whether they're going to have any good candidates in California, but if you don't have a good candidate, don't vote for them because they're a Republican or because they're a Democrat. You vote for a candidate because he's a good man who loves America, and you back him whatever party he belongs to. And Senator Bragdon, I don't know, he's Democrat or Republican. I suspect he's a Republican, but be that as it may, I've talked to Representative Charles Key, who I've known for many years, serves there in the House of Representatives in Oklahoma City, and he says Senator Brogdon's a great man, so I hope many of you out there will give a good deal of thought to helping him. And then, of course, you need to help us get the information out. You need to get the 4-tape set on the swine flu epidemic. The whole swine flu vaccine I think the title is swine flu vaccine. This is a phony epidemic. I'm not sure why it's being used, whether it's being used simply as a scam, as a diversion to enrich the drug companies. Of course, they're going to make billions of dollars. They could make as much as $49 billion this year if we produce vaccine for the entire world. Whether it's going to be used to spread disease and actually to limit the population, to circulate other deadly diseases, putting in a squalene. The CDC will not tell me or anybody else whether or not they're going to be squalene in this product. I mean, why? I mean, 6 weeks from now, we're going to start this massive vaccine program, and the CDC hasn't decided. Well, they have a study on a few hundred people, and based upon this study of a few hundred people over a few weeks, we're going to decide to give this vaccine to millions of people in America, a vaccine that could have disastrous results. Does that sound logical to you? Doesn't sound logical to me. You need to get our 4-tape set on the swine flu vaccine. You need to get our 4-CD set, pardon me, my DVD on planned population reduction. Planned population reduction. None dare call it genocide. And there's another talk on a video called Population Control. You need to get my monograph, Population Control Agenda. The Population Control Agenda monograph, it's available at RadioLiberty.com at our website, or certainly if you get into the other items, ask for a free copy of that, or simply buy them in bulk, and we'll turn them out at the best price we can for you. We want you to circulate them so that people really understand there are people out there who want to kill off most of the people in the world. They want to kill off most of the people in the world. If you have your computer, go up on your search engine and type in billionaires meeting New York, June 2009, population control. You'll find that the leaders of the population control movement, the billionaires behind this, certainly met in New York City in June of this year to plan their genocidal programs. You have to understand, they really want to do away with most of the world's population. Why do you think that they're storing all those seeds for wheat and corn and all sorts of other plants up above the Arctic Circle? They want them there when we start all over again. When we start all over again, who's financing it? Why Bill Gates? Why the Rockefeller Foundation? Monsanto, that's destroying our food crops and contaminating them with their pollens all across America. And of course, if you feed their corn, the Monsanto genetically modified corn, to pigs, they become infertile. What do you think it's doing to males? Do you know that and you can check this on the internet, the male sperm count has dropped almost 50% in the last 20 years. Why do you think that is? Why is the male sperm count down all around the world? Do you think it's just happening by accident? They know exactly what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen. They're emasculating our male population so there'd be nobody to oppose the new tyranny. Our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. From the mountains to the prairie, to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Donald McIlvany. Now, remember, there's a Donald McIlvany, and then there's Donald McIlvany. And tonight we're going to be talking to Donald McIlvany. And, of course, he's with Operation Barnabas. He does a missionary work. He's been in missionary work for... How long have you been in missionary work, Donald?
Oh, 25 years.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about Operation Barnabas, and then, of course, tell us about what's going on down there in Honduras and how we've been lied to by the controlled media here in America. But why should we be surprised? They always lie to us about everything. But tell us about, first of all, your ministry, and then what's going on really in Honduras.
Okay, well, you know, I'm Donald McIlvany, and my wife is Mignon, and we've been doing missionary work for over 25 years now. We made our first trip into Central America to Honduras and Costa Rica, and the missionaries we were just spending 3 weeks with down in Honduras are missionaries that we met 25 years ago on our very first trip to the field. And our work is to minister to missionaries who are serving on the field, and then when we're back in the States, I do itinerant preaching, trying to remind the church that the harvest is ripe and there's a labor shortage, and we do have a responsibility to raise up workers who will go out and spread the gospel globally so that we can help people come to faith and escape the wrath that is definitely coming. And what's happening in the world politically, economically, culturally, are all signs of the end, and there's a great urgency now to really work the harvest so that people can come to faith. And there are a lot of people around the world who are frightened because of what's going on, and they, because they're frightened and they're traumatized, they're looking for hope. And I know that there are politicians here in America that campaigned on hope, but the only thing they've been delivering since they got elected is a whole lot of fear. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear, and that love can only come from Jesus Christ through his blood. And what we need to do is help people be reconciled so they can be delivered from fear and then be able to stand in their faith and trust the Lord to carry them through the trials that are coming. And my wife and I just returned from 3 weeks in Honduras, where I was able to teach for two of those 3 weeks at the Farthest Horizon School of Missions, which is a new mission training center that's been established by Central Americans to train Central Americans to do cross-cultural ministry overseas. And that's in Asia, Africa, and in other parts of Latin America. And what was exciting about it is that as we were getting ready to go, we were getting emails and phone calls from family and friends saying, you know, is it safe? Is it safe? We heard there was a coup down there. And, you know, there's riots and just all kinds of problems. But when we would, that's what people were hearing through the media up here. But when we talked to our missionary friends, they said, well, things are kind of quiet. There's no blood in the streets. There's a curfew. But the big thing that's done was cut crime down, because the bad guys are usually out between 2 in the morning and 5 in the morning. And so they said, go ahead and, you know, come on down. And so we had made about 6 weeks earlier our plane reservations. And we got a warning from the State Department that it was dangerous, that they were warning people not to go. But on the Honduran side, everybody said, come on down. And we didn't have a problem while we were there.
And here's the thing, is that they create fear and hysteria here. The media is controlled. Why? Because, of course, the president of Honduras, who was actually forced into exile, was a communist. He was working very closely with Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro and the American State Department, backing the communist former president of Honduras. We're backing the same people that Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro are backing. What's wrong with this picture? Well, Donald, you pick up the story there.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, it's interesting, picking up on a comment that you made, is you have to understand that, you know, when you look back on Hillary Clinton's life, she's now the Secretary of State, and she's the one that's really putting pressure on Honduras to bring the communists back. She was a first-generation disciple of Saul Alinsky, and Barack Obama is a second-generation disciple of Saul Alinsky. And Saul Alinsky, his goal was to raise up communist cadres that would bring America into a state of chaos so that they could take and seize control. And that's what we're seeing going on right now. But dealing with Honduras, Zelaya is a crony of Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro, and he's been groomed by them to rearrange the political structure within the nation of Honduras so that he could get himself elected president for life, you know, very much like we're seeing in some other places in different parts of the world. And the way the Honduran Constitution is written is that a president can only be elected for one term in their lifetime, and that's a 4-year term max. And Zelaya coming up, November would be the normally end of his 4-year term, and because there's a new election coming in November. And according to the Honduran Constitution, if a sitting president tries to have a referendum or tries a ballot measure to alter the terms of the Constitution's term limits, that action automatically terminates his presidency. And so what happened was, when Zelaya tried to do this illegal move against the Constitution and against the people, the Constitution kicked in. And he ordered the military to go ahead and monitor this illegal election. The military leadership resigned en masse and said, no, because you're breaking the law. And then Zelaya, when he declared after that he was going to do it anyway using his own people, that's when the Supreme Court of Honduras stepped in and said, you have terminated your own presidency. You are no longer president. The Supreme Court reinstated the military leadership, ordered them to arrest Zelaya, which was done in an incredibly peaceful manner. And they took him to the airport, put him on a private plane, and flew him to Costa Rica. And then the next in line, constitutionally, is the vice president. But the vice president of Honduras, who saw what Zelaya was up to, he wants to be president one day. So he resigned his position and left there a vacancy in, at the vice presidential level, and because he wants to run coming up at this next election. And so then it went to the Speaker of the Honduran House of Representatives, the Honduran Congress, and that was Micheletti. And Micheletti is an old man. He's a trusted man. Not everybody agrees with his politics, but he's a fair man. That's his reputation. And he's always got the best interest of his people in mind.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Chris. Donald is telling us about what goes on, what went on down there in Honduras, and certainly when the communist president wanted to actually change the constitution so he could stay on permanently, like Hugo Chavez has done. The constitution says that if any sitting president tries to change the constitution so he can stay on indefinitely, he automatically forfeits his office. The communist president didn't care about that. He insisted on doing this, told the army to go ahead and hold an election, and the army resigned en masse. The army leaders resigned en masse, so the fellow was going to go ahead and use his own people to hold a referendum so he could be president for life, the communist president of Honduras. The people didn't want this, and so the Supreme Court said, you violated the law. They ordered the military, they reinstated the military, ordered them to arrest this man and send him out of the country. Now, you're not going to read that in the controlled media here in America, because the controlled media is going to support the communists, but you're not told that. People have forgotten. It was the American State Department that brought Fidel Castro to power. And, of course, we find out, if you read David Rockefeller's memoirs, that David Rockefeller's daughters go down regularly to meet with Fidel Castro. They just love Fidel Castro. And Fidel Castro comes up here so he can meet with David Rockefeller. Why would the communist president of Cuba come to the United States to meet with David Rockefeller? Well, maybe nothing as it appears to be. But anyway, of course, it was Jimmy Carter, one of David Rockefeller's flunkies, who certified the last election in Venezuela that allowed Hugo Chavez to become president for life. Jimmy Carter, member of the Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, internationalist and globalist. He appears to be a bumbling idiot. He is simply doing what he's told to. And now, of course, we have, of course, the American media telling us, oh, isn't it terrible? The Hondurans violated the law. They had a military coup, and it wasn't true at all. They were abiding by the law of their country, and the media is simply lying, as always, to the American people. You pick up the story, Donald.
Yes, and so the media here has been totally distorting what's going on down there, and it has been just basically a very, very peaceful transition of government. Micheletti, as I mentioned, was the speaker of their legislature, and he stepped in as a caretaker president. He never wanted to be president, and so he was willing to humble himself, step in, be a caretaker until November for the next election, and then the new president will be sworn in January. Now, our government, our State Department, is putting incredible pressure on Micheletti to come to some kind of a brokered compromise where Zelaya can get back in the country. And if he does come back into the country, then the left is really going to rally around him. But, you know, what's overwhelming there is public support for the Constitution and public resentment towards Zelaya. While during the 3 weeks we were there, in the evening, we usually were able to watch the news. We don't speak Spanish, but our friends would translate for us. And they were doing daily tracking polls within the country. And it didn't make any difference how they worded the questions. It always came out, at best, 82% against Zelaya, and sometimes as much as 96% against Zelaya. It depended on whether you were talking about amnesty or reinstatement or, you know, bringing him back in the presidency. To reinstate him in the presidency, I think the numbers were like 96 or 97% against it. When it came to amnesty, it was always in the low 90s, high 80s. When it came to letting them live in exile and don't bring any charges against them, I think it was running about 80, 82% there. But overwhelmingly, the Honduran people are for their constitution. There's a joke running around Latin America right now about the little nation that did. And it's a takeoff on the old children's story about the little train, the little engine that did, little train that did. Little tiny little engine, everybody thought it was out of, you know, obsolete, hooks up to the train and finally gets it over the mountain and just really put the effort to it. And so Honduras has stood up to the United States, stood up to the OAS, stood up to the International Communist Community, and they followed their constitution. It worked. It is working now. And all they have to do is run out the clock until November, and all this goes away. And that's what Castro and Chavez have finally woken up to, is that the Hondurans are sending teams to Costa Rica to negotiate, but what whenever they get their chance to talk, they merely read the Honduran Constitution and say, now, you know, we're trying to work within the guidelines of our own national constitution, and where is there a need to compromise here? And that's, you know, just pushing these people, the leftists, all over the edge. And, you know, it's really funny, and something that's a very hilarious thing in Honduras is that the two people that have always whined and cried the loudest in the last 10 years against Yankee imperialism, America stay out of Latin America, and everything else, have been Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro. Well, it's really interesting that the two people who are screaming the loudest for American intervention in Honduras are Hugo Chavez and Fidel Castro. And they've got a sympathy vote up here, you know, between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Both of them are communists. You know, that's where they were trained as communists. They have a communist worldview. I know both of them have gone to church at different times in their life, but there's no fruit in their life that would bear witness to that, to the world, that they're Christians by any means. It's merely one of those things of convenience, very much like it was with Ted Kennedy, John Kerry, and those other people who will use being Catholic as a political chip, as some way that they can leverage support and votes. So you have to get beyond the smoke screen of where these people are coming from and just really get down to it. And Honduras, the people there rose to the occasion. They understand their constitution. They like being free. They've had coups in their history. They don't like the idea of a political coup. In Honduras, the military is neutral. They support the government. They defend the people of Honduras. And they were willing to stand by the Constitution and let things just unfold as they are. And it was really interesting. Something else that that comes to mind is that in the legislature, the Micheletti, who is speaker of their legislature, was from Zelaya's party. And the majority of the seats in the Congress in Honduras are of the same party as Micheletti, as the same party as Zelaya. And it was 92 or 94% of Zelaya's own party nationwide voted to throw him out of office. That's how concerned these people were of his leaning towards communism and about their concern to preserve and protect their constitution.
See, isn't it amazing, Don? We never hear that here in the United States.
No, because the United States is doing everything it can to get the world in this free flow towards a global economy, a global government, a global politic. And I think the big debate that's going on is whether it's going to be communist, fascist, or socialist. I think that's the real fight that's going on among the factions on the left. But nobody ever mentions a global democracy where every citizen in the world would have a vote. That's just not even in discussion. What they're debating about is a socialistic form of government, a communist form of government, or a fascist one. And so, you know, you can look down in Houston and see some of the big oil guys down there, and I think their tendency would be towards a global fascism, and I think that's why you see this big food fight going on between high-level Republicans and Democrats, because what they're really fighting over is not freedom and justice in America and preserving our way of life and our culture. What they're looking towards is they can read the tea leaves from a secular perspective. There will be a global government. The question is, what form is it going to take and who's going to run it? And the fascists don't want the communists in charge, and the socialists don't want the communists because it's too oppressive. It's not pie for everybody, medical care for everybody. And so, Dr. Stan, that's what's really going on. But what's more significant is that the people, the general population, your audience has to understand that the power behind all of this is Lucifer the devil. He's masquerading as an angel of light. He's coming along whispering words of health care, whispering words of doing away with poverty, you know, global peace, global this, global harmony, and that's all a lie from the devil. And what you're hearing from the mainstream media in America is that they are mouthpieces that the devil is using to manipulate public opinion and try and shape it towards this global government and global governance, where the devil will have the ultimate control and power through the Antichrist to literally slaughter billions of people. And so that's why, and I've been on the radio with you before, and I think every time I've ever talked with you, I've brought up your message about Brotherhood of Darkness. Every single American needs to hear that message so that they can understand that this is a spiritual war, and the power behind it all is the devil, and he is using the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations. He's using the Communist Party today, or USA. He's using ACORN. He's using all of these different factions for one purpose, and that is to break down and destroy America and American, to strip us of freedom, to undermine the Constitution, and to destroy our economy so that we are forced into a global government. That's the goal of the enemy, and his ultimate purpose in that is to kill men, women, and children before they have a chance to hear the gospel. And that's why we are committed to global missions, is because we have to do everything we can to get the gospel everywhere we possibly can while there's still time, while there's still a window. Because the darkness, you know, Jesus said, you know, I have to work while there's daylight because the darkness is coming when no man can work. And I tell you what, Dr. Stan, for believers that have a discerning eye and a understanding of the scripture, we can look around. Believe me, on January 20th this year, when this new administration came in, believe me, darkness began to flood over America. And that is tragic.
Well, you're absolutely right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in very, very dangerous times. But as Donald said so well, this is a spiritual battle. Until we recognize that, nothing makes sense. We'll be back in just a moment. Our guest is Donald McElveny, and right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Donald, you go right ahead.
Oh, yes. I wanted to mention that the first weekend that we...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Whether the CIA is financing, these communist movements all throughout the world with your tax money, but we can't let the American people know that. Our most recent conquest was when we got rid of the monarchy over there in Nepal and installed a communist government there, but we can't let the American people know. This is the pattern we've used over and over again to put globalist dictators in power and keep them in power. Well, anyway, Chris, most of the people arrested in Honduras demonstrating are from other countries. And so pick up the story there, Donald.
Oh, yes, and I was mentioning the same thing is happening in Iran, but this is by Muslim radicals coming in from Iran who are kidnapping Iraqi police and military, cutting off their heads, cutting off their fingers, disposing of the bodies, taking their identity papers, then infiltrating, and they're the ones that are behind a lot of the car bombs and a lot of the sniping incidents and things like that's going over there, because Iran is trying to destabilize Iraq as part of their Shia goal to wipe out the Sunnis and rule the world, and it's part of their chaos. But I'm using it as an example of what's happening in Honduras, where there are communist cadres coming in from Nicaragua, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Venezuela, and they're being paid cause trouble and try and disrupt commerce and trade and create and do civil disobedience, but violent disobedience. And their goal is to destabilize the country so that the OAS, the UN, and the United States then can have an excuse to step in and seize control and, do what the UN does. And that's, mess up something that's not bad for their own globalist gain. And so that kind of thing is happening there, and the police, as they've been arresting protesters, as I mentioned, overwhelming majority of them are not Honduran citizens. They have also found, Honduras has a rule. You have to live in the country for 5 years before you can begin the process of applying for citizenship. Among the people that have been troublemakers, and as the police have been doing investigations, they have been finding a lot of Venezuelans who have been in Honduras for less than a year that are now Honduran citizens. Somehow they got on a fast track to where they got citizenship, so now they have a legal standing in country, and some of these people are the most aggressive supporters of Zelaya. And very, very, very interesting to see what's going on down there from a global perspective. If we look up from heaven and look down, we get complete clear understanding. But for a lot of people who are looking around and seeing it from an American perspective, where we have a totally, totally controlled media, if you go online, you can read in the London Telegraph, the London Times, different things. You can find all kinds of incredible stories out there that never get reported in America. And it was like the story that, I heard the other day that you're 4 or 5 times as likely to die of prostate cancer, heart disease, and some other, or breast cancer in England with socialized medicine than you are in the United States. But that stuff's not getting reported here. That would be fair reporting, and then people could say, well, wait a minute, I like my odds the way they are. I don't want this socialized medicine, you see. But the socialized medicine thing is just another tactic on the part of the devil to seize control of people's lives, to strip them of their individual and personal freedom. And as I mentioned, the devil's goal is to put people in bondage to sin, and he doesn't want them to hear the gospel so that they can be delivered. I had 3 different conversations with people in Honduras, 3 very significant ones. One was the son of a very prominent doctor, and very lengthy, wonderful dialogue with him. He's a believer. And he was asking me, he said, well, I don't understand. What's going on? Why has America turned its back on Honduras? We've been such a loyal trading partner, a loyal friend. We've been with you on democracy and freedom around the world. And I said, well, you have to understand that our new president is a communist. And when I mentioned the C word, this brother, Carlos, his eyes just opened up and everything made sense to him. He said, no, now I understand. I talked to another fellow whose family are very prominent in the coffee business in Honduras. You know, they own plantations and orchards and stuff, I guess is what they're called, but where they grow the coffee and they do export and they do domestic sales. But he was having the same struggle. Why has America turned its back on Honduras? And I said, well, you have to understand that our president's a communist. And this guy lit up like it was Christmas. He said, oh, now I understand. I had the same conversation with a woman whose family immigrated from Lebanon. They were Lebanese Christians. They were persecuted by the Turks. They immigrated to Central America, settled in Honduras after World War I. And we were driving in the car, my wife and Jackie and a couple of other people coming back from a meeting. And she was saying, you know, Donald, I just don't understand. Why has America turned its back on Honduras?
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly that is Kate Smith's rendition of God Bless America, and something certainly that we should always remember and hope that one day we will be worthy of God's blessing here in America, but not until our people turn from their wicked ways, and of course, certainly pray for redemption. God is not going to bless this country as long as it remains as evil as it is. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Donald McIlvenny. I hope you've enjoyed his discussion, and we'll be back with him in just a moment. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But before we go on, Donald, I want you to get your address out there, your webpage, and let people know how they can get in touch with Operation Barnabas. Now, we think Donald does a very good job, and we certainly have a small number of missionaries we back, and certainly one of them is Donald McIlvenny. We think he's doing a great job doing the Lord's work. We're a little old, too old to go out and do that on our own, and God's called us to this radio ministry, but I think Donald is well worthwhile and deserving of your support. So why don't you get your information out there, Donald?
Okay, well, our ministry name is Mission Barnabas. Our website is missionbarnabas.org, and it's a 501c3 nonprofit, and the commitment is to minister to missionaries overseas, and to encourage the church to be involved in missions locally and globally, because we're all surrounded by sinners who are going to go to hell if they don't get saved. And we have the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that he would give us the Spirit to empower us to be his witness. And so when we become born again, we're sealed by the Spirit, we're filled by the Spirit, and we have the Word of God, and he wants us to share that. And so our phone number is 772-359-2051. That's 772-359-2051. And your listeners can go online to our website. They can see, I probably have about 90 or 95 newsletters in a row up there on the website, so they can just go through there and get a feel for who we are and where we're coming from. But there's a common thread and a common theme through all that we put on the web, and that is that the harvest is ripe and we need to do something about it. And I know that, as you mentioned, you're a little bit old to get overseas on your own right now, but you do have a very effective radio ministry. And the reason for being informed about what's going on in America and what's going on around the world geopolitically and economically is so that we can be an informed witness for the gospel's sake. Because, you know, it's a lot of people that are traumatized and very fearful about what's happening economically and politically. You know, they're waiting for the next big spike in fuel prices and food prices. They're expecting that to come up. And so there's a lot of just crisis talk out there. And, you know, it's been interesting since January 20th. I don't think a day goes by when there's not a new crisis that has to be faced. The latest one is the flu crisis. Now there's the forest fire crisis, and then there's the banking crisis, and then a savings and loan. You know, it's going to be a grocery store crisis coming here soon. And governments and institutions will use fear and crisis as a way of traumatizing and destabilizing a people so that those people would be moved to give up more of their freedom so that that institution or government can have more control. And I think that's exactly what's going on here. But, you know, we know who's behind it. We know the devil's behind it. If people were to listen to your message, Brotherhood of Darkness, they could get the bigger picture, because it's not the Trilateral Commission versus the Freemasons. It's the devil using the Trilateral Commission and the Freemasons and the Bilderbergers all for this particular geopolitical move towards a one global government and a global economy, at which there will be a global dictator. But until then, what we need to do as citizens is resist the evil that's around us, take a real look at the heart, soul, and mind of people that are running for office. Don't just vote for them based on a party affiliation, but vote for them based on a track record. You know, look at their bona fides. You know, what kind of a life have they been living? And that's a fair indicator of what we can expect from them in the future. And I don't think we ought to just take a politician at their word. You know, it's interesting to see how tragic it was for, if you will, the Republican side of the spectrum. And I'm neither Republican, Democrat. I'm a missionary. And, you know, I vote my conscience when the time comes. But I thought it was interesting that when Arlen Specter, who had been a lifelong moderate Republican, when he saw which way the political wind was blowing, and it wasn't blowing in favor of his reelection, he switches parties. And he's going along with this spirit of Antichrist in the White House that's just on a militant, Saul Alinsky aggressive campaign to destroy every institution that we've held sacred for the sake of just personal, egocentric, megalomaniac control. And that's really tragic. But, you know, we have to understand that some of these political leaders that we're facing in the world, they're just archetypes. They're just forerunners of the Antichrist that's going to come. And the devil is using these people, to, if you will, to test market his future product. And we can resist that. You know, we can do what we can to get the gospel out there. We can invest in kingdom work as opposed to investing in this secular stuff that's going on. You know, I was touched during the break because when you played, you know, God Bless America, I grew up as a little boy where my parents watched Kate Smith every week on television, and she closed her show with God Bless America. I remember that. There was another song she sang about When the Moon Comes Over the Mountain. That's how she opened some shows. But I remember God Bless America, and that woman sang from her heart, and it touched the nation. But there are people out there who don't have that life experience. They're a lot younger than we are, and they have gone through a public school system that John Dewey re-engineered starting back in the 1930s and began to remove any knowledge of truth and any knowledge of God out of the system and replaced it, you know, with a total secular worldview. And that's the real tragedy of it. And so a battle that we fight here is trying to help young people who have no background, no understanding culturally of the things of God or the Word of God. How do we get through to them and help them understand that there is a God, a creator God, who made heaven and the earth, and he gave you life, and he did the creating. He's the one that made the rules. And if you humble yourself and come to faith and obey him, then you get the blessing of eternal life. But you can turn your back on God Almighty and then suffer forever and forever and forever. And that's why we have to do what we can to get back, you know, to get the church really focused on missions and evangelism, because unless these politicians get saved, there's no hope for them to change. You know, because all they're going to do is respond to political contributions and, as I mentioned, which way the wind's blowing and what's going to be, what they can do that's going to be for their own personal gain or their own personal advancement. And that's why, you know, Nancy Pelosi, you know, she hangs her hat out there and says she's a Roman Catholic. Well, so did Ted Kennedy. But from what I understand, that when Ted Kennedy died, everything from Rome was dead silent. And I thought that said an awful lot about how the church views that particular man and the family he's part of. You know, if people were to dig and start finding out a little bit more where the tentacles of the Kennedy family go, one of the Kennedy young people has this fuel program up in Massachusetts where he makes cheap subsidized fuel available for poor people. Well, the number one contributor to that program and where the oil comes from is from Hugo Chavez down in Venezuela. And this Kennedy kid's in bed with Chavez to get the fuel that he needs to, for his nonprofit, so that he can go out and buy votes. And it's really interesting. You know, when you start digging, you see these tentacles everywhere. But that's why, you know, it was so important for us to get down to Honduras and to be there at the Farthest Horizon School of Missions, and to be there training and helping Central Americans who are going to be going out into the world. They're going to be taking the gospel from Central America, the truth of the Bible, out into China, Thailand, and a couple of them are going to be medical missionaries down in Peru in South America. And the reason they're going to be there is to minister to the needs of the people, but to be able to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and help them to come to faith. The ones that are working in China, they're there to learn the language, get a handle on the culture, and then look for tent-making opportunities where they can integrate themselves into the Chinese economic system and cultural system, and then be embedded witnesses for the gospel. A young sister in Thailand, the Thai are interested in building their relationships as far as trade is concerned with Latin America, and the sister that was in the group that I was teaching for the 2 weeks I was there, One of the things that she is probably going to be candidating for is to be a Spanish teacher in Thailand, training Thais who are going to be going into Latin America to do, you know, trade and do business and that sort of thing. So I think it's really exciting. The times in which we live, you know, biblically, they're prophesied. You know, we can't stop the global government that's coming, but we can resist the evil that's behind it. And, you know, I would hope that if there's any good that's going to come out of the manipulation and the seduction, if you will, that's going on in America right now, is that America would come to a place of brokenness and where people would repent and turn to the Lord, and there would be a genuine, true revival in this country. But I know that as long as the American people are totally committed to cheap goods by slave labor from China and other places, it's not going to be, their ears are not going to be open to the state of their soul. And so I'm watching what's going on. I'm seeing what's going on politically, economically, and I can get excited. The spiritual side of me gets really excited, you know, because it's going to create a lot of trauma, a lot of fear, and a lot of opportunity for preaching the gospel. Not that I want people to be traumatized or fearful, but I need to take advantage of that to be able to provide to them the comfort of the Word and salvation through Christ. But on the other side, as a citizen, I'm just totally disoriented and afraid. What in the world is going on here? What happened to the law? What happened to the Constitution? You know, what happened in my country? You know, because I grew up in a public school system before it went totally off the rails. And I was in public school when there were Ten Commandments on the wall. And the Rotary Club had the four-way test up there. Is it true? Is it fair to all concerned? You know, it was really an interesting time to grow up. But then my generation, I'm 62 now, but my generation in the 1960s, that's when the rebellion broke out. And that's when they decided to take off their clothes, light up a joint, and start chanting, "Hell no, I won't go." But that was all bearing fruit from the groundwork that the Alinsky people and Antonio Gramsci, that Italian communist, was doing, that groundwork that they were laying, and that groundwork that John Dewey was laying from the 1930s on. A lot of people don't understand it. John Dewey went to, in the 30s, went to Moscow to see how the Russians set up their educational system so he could come back here and duplicate it. That's how far back this stuff goes.
I think it's so interesting. We talk about Saul Alinsky and the books he wrote. One of them, of course, Rules for Radicals. But very seldom do people talk about who the book is dedicated to.
Dedicated to Lucifer.
Dedicated
to
Lucifer.
Go to a bookstore and read the title page.
Right, and we have that title. We bought the book. I just wanted to be able to be absolutely certain we'll provide anybody who wants to see the title page to the first radical. It was Lucifer. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a Luciferian movement, and it's about time people understood this is not theoretical, this is not something you see on television, this is what's going on in the world today. Go right ahead, Don.
And Saul Alinsky, in his dedication page, of Rules for Radical, declares that this is a spiritual battle, and the war broke out in Genesis chapter 3. After Adam and Eve had sinned, and God dealt with Adam, and he dealt with Eve, and God turned to the devil and said, the seed of the woman will crush your head and you will bruise his heel. That's when the spiritual war broke out, and it's for the souls of men, women, and children. And Saul Alinsky is dead. He's in the lake of fire. He's in that place of torment. He will go to the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20 when he's raised from the dead to face judgment. But that's where Saul Alinsky is going to spend eternity. The question is, where am I going to spend eternity? That's going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know for you and Barbara, for your family, you guys know the Lord. You've served the Lord your lives, your adult lives, and you're committed to truth and getting the truth out there. And the reason you're helping people like me get informed and stay up to speed is so that we can be a more intelligent witness for the things which are true. And that's what's so exciting about what's going on. We know that Lucifer is the enemy. He's the puppet master behind all of these organizations and groups. He's behind the fascist movement, behind the communist movement, behind, you know, he's behind mob rule. You know, when democracy eventually gets out of control, it's mob rule. It's 50% plus one. 50% plus one in the Supreme Court says it's legal to kill your baby. 50% plus one in Congress says it's okay to do this, and then the mix changes, and then another Congress, they say, you know, you can't do that anymore. You know, it's really interesting, you know, the way they keep attacking the Second Amendment, you know, and the right to bear arms, and the way that they're going, you know, it's something that's really makes me concerned is that up in Canada, there are pastors that have been arrested and put in jail merely for reading the Quran from their pulpit to inform their congregations about what Muslims believe. And they were agitation started by Muslims who found out about it, and pastors have been arrested and put in prison for merely reading the Quran and quoting to the people what the Quran says and what Muslims believe. It was perceived as a hate crime against Muslims. And I know that here in Congress there's a hate crimes bill that's floating through on Rider somewhere where they're going to just start talking about going against any person's religious views or sexual orientation or anything like that, but we know that ultimately it's going to come down to anything but Jesus. So you can believe anything, you can do anything, you can say anything except mention the name of Jesus or preach the gospel or let people know that God made the rules. Ten Commandments are the best summation of it. And if you break the rules, then you suffer for eternity. And that's going to be a hate crime in the near future. It's already a hate crime up in Canada. In Canada, it's a hate crime to read what the Scripture says about homosexuality because you're attacking and you're despairing and slandering the homosexual lifestyle merely by quoting the Bible. That's what Obama has in mind. That's what Nancy Pelosi has in mind. That's what these communists, these globalists, these fascists all have in mind. They want to strip us of any citizenship, of any freedom, of any rights at all, except when we're willing to obey them in every way, jot and tittle. And that's what's really the ultimate tragedy of what's unfolding. And American people are so forgiving and so forbearing and so tolerant and willing to, you know, endure things that this is overtaking them like a freight train, and a lot of them just don't understand what's going on. Historically, when there's a crisis, the American people generally respond the right way and in total support. We saw that after 9/11, you know, even when there was that tsunami over in Indonesia, while the Muslims were all sitting around saying, well, that must be Allah's will, you know, because those people all died. It was the Southern Baptists, the Red Cross, and the Americans all got there while the UN was still debating the whole thing. The Americans were on the ground in country with water, with food, with medical supplies. Americans will do the right thing. But the question for me today is, are Christians going to do the right thing? Are they going to set their hearts on the things of the Lord and get back to working the harvest so that people can get saved? If people get saved, things can change.
Amen. Well, what we need, of course, is a great revival in America. Whether it's going to happen, well, that may be up to each and every one of us. And certainly, as somebody once said, you know, when people look at you, they look at Christ. If you profess to be a Christian and you're doing the right thing, people want to emulate it. And if not,
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620. Or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
When I do need to mention, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you agree with our contention, you're in a position to help. We'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you have some sort of a business and you'd like to advertise on one of our programs, why, of course, we can certainly do that, not on KFER because it's a nonprofit station, but on many of our other programs and stations out across America. We want to remind you about our October 25th all-day meeting here on the North Shore of Monterey Bay. Going to have a great meeting. We're going to have Dr. Catherine Albrecht talking about RFID identification and all the other things that are being done along the way to a dictatorship in America. Certainly we're going to have Tom Horn will be here talking about some of the crazy things they're doing. Certainly we'll be having William Grigg will be here. I think it's going to be a great, great time, and we certainly hope that you're going to be able to make it. Now, we're going to have reservations because we're going to be serving lunch, so we have to know how many people are going to be here. If you're local, call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you are from out of the area, why, we do hope that you'll certainly call us, and we'll get you the directions and make recommendations on where you may want to stay overnight. Certainly, we are facing the threat of the dreaded swine flu. It is the most overrated epidemic and pandemic of all time, unless, of course, they release another organism. If you hear my interview with Wayne Mattson in our four-tape set, the swine flu vaccine, Why, of course, you will actually hear Wayne Mattson talking about how he's been contacted by people, high-level scientists, and the UN, certainly World Health Organization, who claim this is a created virus. They can tell it's a created virus, probably developed in a military biological warfare laboratory. Why would they develop a new disease and then release it across America, release it throughout the world, keep telling us it's a pandemic and billions of people are going to die? Because they want to vaccinate billions of people. And that is the plan. Why do they want to vaccinate billions of people? I don't know. Is there going to be something deadly and injurious in the vaccine? They won't tell people what's going to be in the vaccine. We know there's going to be thimerosal and aluminum and certainly the other products, but they won't tell us whether there's going to be squalene in it, which is a product, it's an adjuvant, it's an oil adjuvant that can precipitate autoimmune disease. They've used it before with disastrous results. They're going to decide sometime in the next couple of weeks. Ladies and gentlemen, the program begins in 6 weeks, and they haven't decided what's going to be in the vaccine they're going to give to several hundred million Americans. Do you honestly believe that? What's the real agenda? Well, is it chaos? Is it to make money for the drug companies? Are they going to have something in there that is harmful, like when they released the polio virus with a cancer virus, a simian 40 virus in it? I don't know. It's going to become very apparent, but if I can recommend anything, do not take the vaccine. Do not take the swine flu vaccine or regular flu vaccine with mercury in it. You need to get our DVD, Mercury Autism, and the Global Vaccine Program. That's Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Program. And, of course, that's Dr. David Aub, a DVD. And you get a free CD-ROM with literally thousands of pages of scientific documentation and government documents showing they know that they're poisoning our children with the thimerosal. You need to get the DVD entitled Vaccines and Brain Development.